Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start in Kansas City with my Chiefs. All right, I feel like I owe Patrick Mahomes an apology. I went all football season without wearing my Mahomes wig. Around mid-October, I started flirting with another quarterback, Lamar Jackson. I never fully consummated the opinion, but in my mind, I considered the possibility that Lamar was a more dangerous weapon than Mahomes. I almost cheated, and for that, I'm truly sorry. It will never happen again. Patrick Mahomes is the NFL's most lethal weapon. He is the king of the seven kingdoms, the heir to all the thrones vacated by Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, and Andrew Luck. For the first time since Johnny Unitas, football has an undisputed pound-for-pound champion at quarterback. There is no challenger to Patrick Mahomes. He holds all the belts. Sunday, when Mahomes and the Chiefs came off the ropes for the second week in a row and dusted their opponent, the Tennessee Titans, in the AFC Championship, Mahomes unified the heavyweight quarterback title. Mahomes' four TD performance in yesterday's 35-24 victory proved there's a significant gap between himself and all of his peers. Titans running back Derrick Henry, was George Foreman. The batting ram that bulldozed New England and Baltimore like they were Joe Frazier and Ken Norton. Henry and the Titans jumped on Kansas City 10-0 and 17-7 early. Then Mahomes started floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee. Just before halftime, Mahomes broke into the Ollie shuffle and danced 27 yards for a go-ahead touchdown. The Titans couldn't tackle what their eyes couldn't see. Now you see Mahomes, now you don't. The 49ers think they will, but I know they won't. Mahomes is the magic man. His TD run not only knocked out Henry and the Titans, Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson fell too. When called upon, when necessary, Mahomes can give the Chiefs an extra dimension in the running game. In both of Kansas City's playoff games, he's led the Chiefs in rushing yards. Ali couldn't match Foreman's power, but Ali had enough power, hand speed, and savvy to knock out Foreman. Mahomes can't match Jackson as a runner, but the gap between the two as passers is more pronounced and more important than the difference between the two as runners. Patrick Mahomes' right arm makes a defense defend the entire field. He can come at a defense from every angle, from anywhere on the field. He spotted Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans 24 points and then overwhelmed them. Mahomes spotted Henry and the Titans 10 points and then overwhelmed them. It's the football rope-a-dope. Only the greatest can execute the rope-a-dope. Mahomes did it 2 weeks in a row. He shook up the world. He's young. He's handsome. He's fast. He can't possibly be beat. If you dream of beating Mahomes, you better wake up and apologize. I'm sorry, Pat. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst TJ Husmanzadeh, Hall of Famer, former Kansas City Chiefs, NFL 100 member Tony Gonzalez. Marcellus, get us rolling. Patrick Mahomes, we're back at it. Is he clearly the best in the NFL?
No, not clearly, not at all. One, you owe us all an apology for wearing that wig today. Looking way too real up there, ain't it? And look, I understand why you almost cheated, and I don't have the receipts to say if you did or not, because Lamar is fine, ain't he? The way that dude plays is next level. Tempted you and the family was going to give up on all of that for Lamar Jackson. And I'm going to tell you why you wanted to go there. I'm going to do a year-to-year comparison that proves that this is not clearly Patrick Mahomes' NFL. Rookie year. Who had a better rookie year? Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson?
Mahomes sat.
Oh, I wonder why. You know what? So we're going to give that edge to Lamar Jackson, right? Second year, who had a better year? We were just up here for weeks saying statistically and by impact, Lamar Jackson probably had the best year we've seen at the quarterback position. So we can even say 2-0 in terms of first rookie year, second year, Lamar Jackson. Now we're starting to pour on some gravy for Patrick Mahomes because he's in his third year. We haven't seen the evolution of Lamar Jackson in his third year. But pouring on that gravy, notice the ingredients of what you're pouring on. A lesser version of Patrick Mahomes actually has this team going farther because of the play of the defense. And even in Patrick Mahomes' greatness, he's starting to learn a lesson from Lamar Jackson and lean into his running ability to close that gap. So as insane as Patrick Mahomes is with his arm talent, is as insane as Lamar Jackson is with his mobility. And if you want to say what's the difference between those two guys, I think that Lamar Jackson is closer as a passer to Patrick Mahomes than Patrick Mahomes is as a runner to Lamar Jackson. It's not clear. For me, it's still
Don't
Lamar
laugh,
Jackson.
Don't laugh.
He was Lamar Jackson.
You almost giggled on that.
it's not clear for me either.
He's
the best player in the league, but it's not clear. Lamar Jackson's right there. You could say Russell Wilson's there. You can make a case for Mike Thomas being there, setting records as a receiver. You can also make a case for Christian McCaffrey, what he did in Carolina. Now, the quarterback touches the ball every play, so we're going to give him that credit and that due. Yesterday, Derrick Henry had 19 carries for 69 yards. And so the defense was able to step up. Mahomes is able to put points on him. Like, when he scrambled down the sideline, I literally thought, like, they're scared to hit the guy. They don't want to get a penalty. And when you watch it again, they just couldn't hit him. I mean, he willed him back in. But when you have, if you look at Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, the other two quarterbacks that can be in comparison, they don't have a Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. They don't have a Tyreek Hill. Mm. They don't have a Sammy Watkins.
They don't have a
Miko Hardman. And so
that too.
They don't have those weapons. Now, if me being a receiver, who would I want to play with? Oh, it's no question I would want to play with Patrick Mahomes. But what Lamar Jackson did this year, you can't discount that.
Mm. These two, for the next, 10, 12 years, is going to be the Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning matchup that everybody wants to watch. But I don't like you guys just forgetting about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, to me, is right up there with these guys.
DJ mentioned it.
Yeah, you mentioned that. And thank you for mentioning that, because if he had his running game, if he had his players out there, I think he could be doing the same thing right there that these guys are doing. But having said that, I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes. I think he is, if I'm picking teams to play with somebody, that is the guy you want to play with, especially the way he can extend the play. Lamar Jackson, him, to me, it's I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes for sure.
But I just want to be clear.
Not clearly.
You don't think there's a pronounced gap between Patrick Mahomes and the other quarterback?
If we're at a club,
I'm there.
and you see two beautiful women there,
I'm there.
Which one are you gonna? I would try to get Patrick Mahomes' phone number. That's who I'm gonna go try to get his number. But they're both cute. They're both good. Like you said, they're both worth it.
Yeah.
But if I have to choose, you can only choose
Tony,
one. I'm gonna take Patrick Mahomes.
One, your Chiefs tickets are secure. It's okay. You're fine. You're NFL 100. They're gonna let you in the game. Two, you are dating yourself. No one asks for phone numbers anymore. I need your ID. I don't need your number anymore. That's old school. Here's the thing. I'm glad you brought up Tom
How do you
Brady.
Know that?
You know I know. Find out in Miami. Let me tell you this. There's the Brady Manning 2.0. And playing through that era, as we all did, I remember that everyone was making the mistake of looking at individual greatness and canceling that out because of team success. My point is this. Tom Brady was not better than Peyton Manning as a quarterback. All pro 7 times with Peyton Manning. Tom Brady only 3. MVP 5 times. Tom Brady only 3. You looked at them individually, you knew that Peyton Manning was a better quarterback. But team success can gloss over that fact. Patrick Mahomes being in the Super Bowl is going to allow him to gain a lead over Lamar Jackson that unfairly I don't think he should get. I think it should be based on year to year and merit to merit. That's why it's not clear that it's Patrick Mahomes.
Look, I think you make some relevant points. The only thing you're missing, in my view, is that Patrick Mahomes actually is Peyton Manning, but he's playing with the right head coach, Andy Reid, and the right team. So he's going to get the kind of accomplishments that Tom Brady did as well. Yeah. And so he's got the talent on his side. If you go look at the way, the same way the guys in Baltimore feel about Lamar Jackson, the guys in Kansas City feel the exact same passion and belief in Patrick Mahomes. And then when it just comes down to it, and again, I wavered, and during the season, like, it was so spectacular. You get caught up in Lamar's running, and you just go, my God, this is a dimension. And then you get to these playoffs and you see Patrick Mahomes throw this football and what it does to a defense when he can touch you from anywhere on the field, when he's running to his right and throws back across his body to Sammy Watkins 50 yards downfield. Him and John Elway's the only guys I've seen that can do that. You know, maybe Aaron Rodgers, but it's and then when you toss in that they gave him the opportunity to run these last 2 weeks and he took it and hurt him with it in a big way. And again, he's not the runner Lamar is, but Lamar is not the thrower, to particularly these outside the hashes and
nobody
the wide receivers. Nobody's.
But to my point, you're right. Like, he's going to be able to have that balancing act between individual greatness and team success. Patrick Mahomes is. But if Lamar Jackson's defense, if the Ravens would have performed against Derrick Henry like the Chiefs did, Patrick Mahomes would have been facing Lamar Jackson. And that's outside his hands.
I'm going to disagree. Mm. I think that Patrick Mahomes is the reason Derrick Henry didn't have a good game. If they had gotten to halftime with the lead, Derrick Henry would have been more a part of what they were doing. And then I thought right before halftime, Mike Vrabel made a mistake, got very conservative on their last drive and kicked the ball back. And so the game swung right before halftime where the Chiefs took the lead. And then the next time you looked up, they were behind by too many points to really feed Derrick Henry the way they had been. He'd been the best second halfback in football.
Yeah.
He just
yeah.
didn't get the opportunities yesterday because they were playing from behind.
The reason you will slightly put Mahomes, in my opinion, above Lamar is Lamar is 0-2 in his playoff games.
Yeah.
Mahomes has played well in every playoff game he's played in. He's won 3 and lost 1. And the one that he lost to New England last year pretty much should have been a W for him. So he would be undefeated. It's what Jason said. They're able to put points on a board against Tennessee yesterday. And so Vrabel, they go away from the run. The Ravens weren't able to put points on the board, and so Tennessee can stick to that run. Derrick Henry hits 2 or 3 big runs, and that affects Baltimore's game planning, whereas, man, the Chiefs get the ball, they just going down the field, touchdown, and it takes you out of your game plan, and that is because of Mahomes being able to create plays with his legs, running for a touchdown, and or scrambling and hitting a guy like Sammy Watkins.
I like what you said because I don't know which one brought up the coaching. Where you got a guy like Andy Reid with you for your whole career, if Andy stays there for the next 10 years, because he's got about another 10, 12 years to be dominant, that's going to be a big indicator on his success. Having someone like Andy pulling the strings for you, who is a genius offensively, where, you know, Harbaugh is, I don't know if he's a defensive-minded coach, right?
Special teams.
He's always had the really dominant defenses. And you look at Belichick with Tom, always had the dominant defenses. You look at Coach Cower with Ben, defensive-minded coach. It seems like those coaches with that offensive quarterback, the defensive-minded coaches have better team success, where the offensive coaches, the guys will put up big numbers, but they're just not going to win that many games. So going forward, are we going to judge them by wins or do we judge them by stats and statistics? I think Patrick, obviously, he's going to win that hands down.
Yeah.
He's going to throw for a gazillion more yards than Lamar Jackson will. And then he could run the ball too, though, which he doesn't have to, but he will.
I think the gap between them running is just as big as a gap between them throwing as well. I think that's equal.
Yeah, but I think that's equal. The coaching is going to cloud the conversation of who's the better quarterback necessarily. Because if you look at Andy Reid, of course you're going to pick Andy Reid if you're a quarterback. Look what he did with McNabb. Look what he did with Mike Vick. Look what he did with Alex Smith. And now he's going to do it with Patrick Mahomes, who's more talented than all those guys. So it's going to be an unfair comparison when you want to look at total accolade and team success. But a hit dog hollers, as you always say, Whitlock. And after that game, watching Travis Kelce running to the cameras and interrupting interviews to say, this is the best quarterback in the NFL, lets me know that you're not so secure in that position right there, because we know where that comes from. That comes from Lamar Jackson. That comes from Mark Ingram saying this is the best quarterback, and it's going to come next week when he gets the MVP this year in his second year in the NFL. So there's a little insecurity even within the Chiefs organization.
I wouldn't call that insecurity.
He's been
waiting for this moment because, again, Lamar Jackson was the MVP. Travis Kelce, anybody, he was the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Travis Kelce or anybody or the overwhelming majority of football people never came off of Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback. He just needs time to prove it. He was banged up, missed two games this year. His stats did take a backseat, and Patrick Mahomes is aware of that. But Pat Mahomes said, I'm a better quarterback. The numbers have come down, but I'm a better quarterback, and I think we've seen it in this playoffs. This dude is a better quarterback.
It's almost like, Tony, I love you, that Gronk-Tony Gonzalez argument you hear a lot of people say. He didn't have the team success, but he had the individual success. But then Gronk puts a shorter career down with some individual success but greater team success, and it almost clouds the fact that you don't think that Tony Gonzalez was better than Gronk. We're going to live through this one, and it's going to be the same kind of parallel, which I think is unfair as a player. I think as a player, I have to show individual greatness, and that culminates in team success, not using that against me.
Here's an honest question. How are you supposed to know what to do with your money? Very few of us are exposed to meaningful advice on how to manage our finances. Even fewer have the means to get professional financial guidance. Betterment is a platform that was built to do something radical, to give accessible financial advice that puts you first. If you're like most Americans, your money is probably sitting in a savings account, likely earning next to nothing. Maybe you have an investment account that you're not really sure what to do with. Betterment can help you make sense of what to do with your money. Investing involves risk, but you don't have to know the ins and outs of the stock market to start saving more or start investing for your future. Betterment's technology will put your money to work, choosing the stocks and the strategies that are right for you, because we know you have other things to do. Betterment's platform can even provide guidance on what financial goals make sense for you. Give your money a new home with Betterment, peace of mind included. Download the Betterment app today. That's BETTERMENT for the betterment of you.
All right, we are headed to Miami next Monday for Speak for Yourself, and all of the FS1 studio shows will be live at Loomis Park on South Beach as we get ready for Super Bowl 54. If you're in the area, come and watch the show live and in person. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Tony Gonzalez and TJ Husmanzada are back. Time now for a big story presented by Hyundai. Let's return to Kansas City, where the Chiefs topped the Titans, and Patrick Mahomes went off yesterday, throwing for 3 touchdowns and rushing for another one on one of the craziest plays ever. But he wasn't the only one putting on a show. Raheem Mostert ran all over the Packers, rushing for 220 yards and 4 touchdowns in the 49ers' dominant win over Green Bay. All right, the question here is, and don't forget how dominant the 49ers' defense was, who was more impressive yesterday? The Chiefs or the 49ers?
I'm going to go with the 49ers just because they played 4 great, impressive quarters. We're talking about even the slow start once again that you got to take into account by the Chiefs. Down 10 again, game before, down 24. So just because in the combined 2 games, we saw the Chiefs down 31-7, including down 10 in this game, I'm going to go with the 49ers. Their game plan, their plan A was working from hello. And I have to respect the team. Playing the same team you saw in the regular season. And when you talk about Green Bay, they were saying, oh, we learned, we're going to self-correct. And they were down 23-0 in the regular season. In this game, they were down 27-0. So how is that for self-correction? I'm going with the 49ers and their dominance.
For me, it's the Chiefs, and I don't think it's close. I said last week, I didn't believe the Packers had a chance to win. I said Jimmy G would have turned the ball over 5 or 6 times, and they would probably still win the game. And so I thought the Titans-Chiefs game would be a closer matchup. The reason it's impressive because it's what you just said. 2 weeks in a row, they fall behind, and they show the heart of a champion, and they fight back both times, not only to take the lead, but you pretty much take them out their game plan. You take their heart. And so for me, the Chiefs being down 24-0 against Houston, coming back win, 17-7 yesterday, you're coming back. And you win that, it's no question.
Is it the heart of a champion to do comebacks or the heart of a champion to show dominance, never be down?
But when you go into
the heart?
When you go into the game.
Which one's the real heart?
No. When you go into a game and the majority of the people think you're going to win, which I believe everybody thought the 49ers had an easier road in that game yesterday over the Chiefs, that's easy. It's easy. You blew them out the first time. You blew them out the first time. Mm-hmm. And you blew them out again. That's much easier.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. You know, obviously, playing for Kansas City, I have that those of us with children out there, you know, you're a little bit harder on your children. At least I am. I
don't know. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Like, you have more higher expectations.
Yeah.
And when they came in, they went down 10. I was like, what is going on here? Like, I was so frustrated with them because you're so much better than that. And they proved it. Ultimately, they proved that. And so I was surprised in a negative way that way. I was like, come on. Like, from the beginning, it just looked sloppy at the beginning again. Whereas the 49ers, I was just impressed by them. And because of the way they run, because of Shanahan's of like willingness just to stick with the run like that, to just do whatever it takes. They were dominant in that game. I didn't think they were going to dominate like that with Aaron Rodgers, a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right.
They got blew out that first time. I'm thinking there's no way Aaron Rodgers is going to let this happen. I know he doesn't have the weapons. I knew they were going to lose, but I didn't think it would be as lopsided as it was. And the way they won it, it's just impressive to watch that 49er team. That guys, too, someone like Kittle, who is a receiving tight end. Like, he can catch the ball, but then he'll catch no balls. And he's got everybody on the same page about just winning is the ultimate focus, kind of like New England. I'm impressed with what they're doing. That's why I'm scared for the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs are going to win, but I still think San Francisco, they're a dangerous football team. Very, very dominant.
Very dangerous. I probably lean towards you and Marcellus and go 49ers. You won a game. The NFC throwing the ball 8 times.
Yeah, you know how good they played Pop Warner football yesterday. They played
inner city Pop Warner.
They played Pop Warner football in the NFL.
Not suburban Pop Warner.
I'm going to say the Chiefs, though, for this a personal pet peeve of mine. Andy Reid, the knock on him throughout his career, he will abandon the running game. Mm-hmm. They got down 10 points, and I was like, oh, what the – and this dude went the total other direction and leaned into his running game. That, to me, has been the biggest obstacle, my biggest knock on Andy Reid. I was a big Donovan McNabb fan, used to watch him play. I was like, man, give Donovan a break, man. Let the running game, blah, blah. You in his way with this passing. He finally, I don't care if it is year 21 or 22, he finally corrected and in the moment went with the running game, including Lyle and his quarterback, and Damian Williams, their backup, basically running back. LeSean McCoy wasn't even active. And they leaned into their running game. It was very impressive for me and gave me a lot of confidence heading into the Super Bowl. Like, oh, man, I'm dealing with a different Andy Reid, someone that I can trust.
Yeah, I'm not going to steal any of the thunder from what you said because that was profound. That was great to see. But there is something, let's be real, that is starting to show inconsistency with the anxiety of this team starting slow. Like, whatever it is, maybe it's they're making great adjustments in the second quarter, but to go 2 games and you're going against lowly teams in terms of offensive production, like the Chiefs and Titans, great running game, I know Titans, but once you take Derrick Henry away, you're not looking at the same animal. Something about the Chiefs coming out with those expectations, maybe it's to be the favorites, is not playing into their psyche properly. But 2 games like that, if you pull that stunt again against the 49ers, you think about leaning into a running game, it's going to get ugly. So that's a problem.
Derrick Henry ran for 180 yards against the Patriots, 195 against the Raiders. He had 69 yards yesterday rushing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. That's impressive. We literally sat here last week and you said, what chance do we give the Packers? We all said none.
Yeah.
So when you give them no chance, what's impressive when I knock you out?
All right, let's move to the million-dollar question. Who wins the Super Bowl?
All right, this is Monday, right?
So this is going,
we can change.
Okay, good. I'm wearing that wig one day, and I'm taking it off the next.
For today, I'm saying the Chiefs. If you look at the 49ers in their running game, Tevin Coleman, I don't think he's coming back. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but that is going to compromise their running game. They don't have that same effect. And if you look at what they were able to do against the Chiefs, I mean, the Chiefs were able to do against Derrick Henry and the Titans, that translates, as you just pointed out. Going against a running game that's going to be shorthanded, the 49ers may have to lean into Jimmy Garoppolo. He hasn't been fully activated in the playoffs, and now you're going to fully activate him in the Super Bowl and say, we're going to put pressure on you to help us win this ball game. Slight advantage for the Chiefs right now.
It's Monday. You never know what these dummies might go in Miami and do. And so I'm going with the Chiefs for a different reason. And I'll tell you why. The 49ers, if you look at divisional opponents, when they play the Seahawks, they lose one, they win one. When they play Arizona Cardinals, they won both games. Both games are close. The Cardinals are 5-10-1. What do those two teams have? Mobile quarterbacks. Seahawks don't have the weapons the Chiefs have. The Cardinals don't have the weapons. Similar quarterback, Mahomes a little far superior than those two. And so for that, the way Mahomes is a mobile quarterback and you look how Arizona and the Seahawks gave those problems, I'm going with the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, you know I'm going with it. I don't want my Twitter to light up anyway. But not even because of that, my Chiefs fans out there. I really do believe the Chiefs are going to win. I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a real close game. But the way Mahomes can play, I think this is that moment for him. This is it. This is going to set the tone for the next 10 years for him. And he's going to unleash them. I think they will run the ball a lot more than what people are expecting, though. Damian Williams has shown that he can run the football. And they just have to commit to that. If they commit to that, then I think they're going to win this game.
I'm scared as hell. The 49ers have a front four that can handle their business and give the back seven some help in the passing game because you only got to defend for 2.5 seconds. I'm very nervous. A lot of me says the 49ers and their running game and Kyle Shanahan. But my X factor, and this is a guy that I thought was good, but now I believe, like, he's just a slight cut below Aaron Donald. This Chris Jones is out there playing on a limited basis without practicing, and he was a problem. He probably got 25 snaps and was a problem. He gets 2 weeks to recover. Yeah. He will be perfectly healthy for the Super Bowl, hopefully, knock on wood. I think he's going to be a disruptive force for San Francisco in the running and the passing game, and that will tilt the balance. Mahomes is going to do Mahomes stuff, but somebody on defense has to make plays and put them in third and longs and put Jimmy G in position to be loose, and it's going to be Chris Jones. I like the Chiefs. Tony Gonzalez is back. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst LeVar Arrington. All right, let's return to Santa Clara, where Aaron Rodgers struggled through most of last night's NFC Championship game. Rodgers finished with some big numbers, throwing for 326 yards and 2 touchdowns, but he also threw 2 interceptions and lost a fumble and couldn't get much of anything going until the 49ers' win was already well in hand. Rodgers has a reputation as one of the all-time greats, but he struggled in some huge games, going just 1-3 in NFC Championship games for his career, all while throwing more picks than touchdowns with a passer rating of just 78. Did Aaron Rodgers' legacy take a hit last night?
Not at all. One.
Not at all?
Not at all. And I'm here with evidence to show you, not only did it not take a hit, but let's make Aaron Rodgers, the great, a sympathetic figure, shall we? How many points did they give up last night? Carry the one. 37, right? 37. Okay. Do you know that no quarterback has ever had worse showings from their defense in the playoffs than the Aaron Rodgers? Let's talk about his 8 playoff losses. You want to know what the average points scored against his team were? 36.4. His defense is in every one of those games. We could talk about his passer rating, but let's talk more so about how his defense is always compromised in the games that he loses. So if you look at this situation, Aaron Rodgers walked in there undermanned. Even leaving the game said, this ain't the most talented Green Bay Packers team I've had. They need help. He went from overachieving during the regular season with this team in a 13-3 record, wasn't supposed to be here, to the point where now people are going to take a hit at his legacy when he did the unexpected? That's crazy. Aaron Rodgers did exactly what was expected. Wasn't the reason they lost, but still came up short because of the defense and the lack of weapons.
It hurts. If it's my turn, it certainly hurts. I mean, in the world of sports, you're measured by your successes. You're also measured by your failures. Going away from the statistical categories of what took place yesterday, just looking at the way this 49er defense kept Aaron Rodgers confused, frustrated him, showed basically what a blueprint could look like. Nah, you don't have as many good horses up front all around the league. But if we're talking about if Aaron Rodgers proves out in that game and he's able to some way, somehow crack the code of what the 49ers defense has been bringing in that multiple tier 3 coverage defense, then now we're talking about it's GOAT status for him. But he didn't do that. And not only did he not do it, but in moments where he clearly could have been a catalyst for possibly pulling them through, pulling them closer, grabbing control of the game, he came up short.
Well, I mean, Right. NFC Championship game. I love how you brought up those statistics. I mean, I would love to see any quarterback, I'm sure, in the NFC playing against the best teams in the NFL. Your numbers are going to dip a little bit. When I win against the best team, sometimes your numbers are going to dip. It's just all there is to it. It's just how it goes. I don't think his legacy is taking a hit. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Him being in the situation, if you saw them week 8, I did not think they would make it to the NFC Championship game. I thought they were going to lose the first round. But he is an exceptional quarterback. To me, he's one of the top players to ever play the position. I don't think one game. He doesn't have the talent, too. Let's talk about that. Davante Adams is his only primetime weapon. And the running back. Running back's good, too. But besides that, I mean, the rest of those guys, nothing against them, but they have not shown up. They have been so inconsistent this year. Jimmy Graham is a great tight end, but he's not what he used to be, not by any means. I think he was a little short, kind of like with Tom Brady. I'd say the same thing with him this year. The weapons weren't what they used to be, so your numbers are going to fall off. They're not going to be as good as they used to be.
All right, listen, I didn't use the word here, but originally this morning I had, did his legacy take a ding? Today we say take a hit. But you got to remember what a ding is. A ding's just you almost don't notice it on a car. If a car gets dinged,
you don't get that.
There's not a full dent.
If it's a nice car, you're going to notice that.
All
ding.
That.
What? Not a ding. I've had a ding. I had a Mercedes that had a ding that I didn't get fixed. No one ever said a word about it.
They didn't want to tell him. They didn't want to tell him. I said, did you see that ding on Whitlock's car?
I ain't talking about that car. That's you. Yeah, right.
And so I'm just saying, did it take a ding? Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it. Again, is he still great? Is he still a quarterback you'd want, one of the two or three best in the league? Absolutely. But when you get boat race like that, when you have guys like Colin Cowherd that have been beating the drum and will continue to beat the drum, and you got these quirks in your personality, you go from, hey, is he an all-time great winner or is he an all-time great passer? And there's a whole difference in there reputation-wise. And he's an all-time great passer. And I compare him favorably to Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain's one of the greatest athletes, NBA players of all time. But when they start talking about who the greatest is, they're like, man, Wilt put up 100 and Wilt did. He's got some nice stats.
Average 50 and 20.
Yeah, he got some nice stats.
Top 10.
But he ain't there with Jordan and Bill Russell and LeBron and some of the other guys.
Bill Russell.
And that's where I think Aaron Rodgers takes a little ding. He's in a little different conversation.
I ain't going to turn this to an NBA show, but damn it, he better than Bill Russell. I'm going to say this. Don't count all them team and all them Hall of Famers he played with. Individual greatness versus team success. Last year, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. Respect. What did Tom Brady do? Throw 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Did that get lost in the ring and in the success of the team? It did. Aaron Rodgers is sitting there saying, look, I don't have offensive weapons to the level of the teams I'm playing against, let alone my defense gives up 37 every time I step on the field in the playoffs. When we're losing, that's what's going to happen. So I just want to make sure we can distill the argument and laser focus on Aaron Rodgers, not the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers shouldn't have been here. That was not a 13-win team in terms of roster construction.
That's true.
Somehow, some way they did. Now let's not use that against Aaron Rodgers.
But they won 13 games.
Yeah.
And you just said, did not foresee them being in the championship round, right?
Yeah.
Who are you giving that credit to? Who are you giving that credit to?
Let's
say what you're thinking.
Aaron Jones.
Defense?
No. Who are you giving that credit to? Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
I would.
You're giving that credit to Aaron Rodgers. The way it sounded, the way you said it.
Well, like Aaron Rodgers.
He didn't have a great year, though, so we were already hesitant.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
If we're giving Aaron Rodgers the credit for leading that team with a first-year head coach to the NFC playoff championship round, one game away from the Super Bowl, of course you're going to give him the credit for being the architect on the field of being able to get them that far and that deep into the playoffs.
So now we're going to take the debit. You're going to
give him the blame as well.
You have to.
I don't think you.
If you're going to take, if you're going to take the credit for getting there, this shouldn't have been a 13-3 team the way they were constructed. I didn't think they'd make it to the NFC playoff championship round, but they did. And what is the common denominator in terms of why you're having success with this team? You're going to go to the quarterback. So if you're asking, does it take a ding? Does it take a step back? Are you going to look at Aaron Rodgers and say, did Aaron Rodgers come up short in the biggest game of the season?
If you're going to say that 37,
What quarterback is going to win that game?
He participated in giving him that 37.
He did help.
He was part of it.
He did help.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I've seen people, I don't think it's a big deal, but I've seen people make a big deal about him not going after that fumble. They're comparing it.
He didn't even look.
Cam Newton.
They're comparing it.
Don't do it.
He did not even look.
Why
when
should
the
he?
Ball went. What?
It's bigger than one play. Ask Drew Brees how it feel to go after a fumble.
He let that ball go, and he just looked up at the sky like, well, I really don't have the
bigger
ball
than one
right
play,
now.
Y'all.
Okay, we talk about the ding, and it goes back to the argument you just said about me and Gronk.
Yes.
Okay, so are we judging on team success? Are we judging on individual success? There, it is first
he
of
didn't
all,
have a lot of individual success yesterday.
Well, no, I don't think so either.
Okay.
I don't think, but over his career, yeah. I mean, we can't take away what the man has done in
right.
legacy.
It's but we're like, talking about how this particular game affected his legacy. Did it take a little D? Let's say if you had him rated at 98, do you back him up to 96 now?
So are you backing Tom Brady up because they didn't make it to the playoffs? I mean, they're the number one defense in the league
Super
this year.
Bowls. Oh, here he is.
But this is in heaven. But this is.
He's gone.
But this is what I'm talking about. When you have that type of success, it's like, okay, do we judge guys? Dan Marino, if he would have run 4 Super Bowls, are we saying he's the best quarterback of all time now?
Yes,
probably.
We are.
You probably
what
would.
What if he never makes it back to this game again? Does that take a hit on his legacy? Because that's probably the last.
It depends on what type of person you are. Are you that type of person to say, okay, I need trophy. I need jewelry.
Basis.
That was a knock against me. They're like, well, he's got no jewelry.
Modern day,
he ain't
so
the best.
Modern day. How come it's so hard to extract the individual from
modern
the team?
Modern day fan bases don't want to invest that type of time.
No, we're going to talk. We're not going to talk down to fan bases. We're going to talk up with our knowledge. Our knowledge is this. I think it's much greater of an accomplishment to be a Hall of Famer, to be Tony Gonzalez, than the guy who walks around with multiple rings who didn't have the same contribution in individual excellence. I look at it that way. I think a lot of players do. But that's not what you can sell to fan bases. That's not what you can pander to people. But individual greatness is greater because you can only control that.
Everybody has to do taxes, and yet not everybody feels comfortable doing taxes, which doesn't seem right. Especially when you consider all the amazing things these same people accomplish every day of their lives. TurboTax believes that, with the right tools and encouragement, people can be good at anything, yes, even taxes. And to help people feel more comfortable with the tax process, TurboTax Live gives you personal access to experienced CPAs and EAs who are there for you even on nights and weekends. And they're happy to go through your return with you line by line to double check that you've done everything right, so you can be sure to get your best possible refund and feel 100% confident in your taxes. TurboTax, all people are tax people.
Time now for Darnell's question of the day. My homeboy was at the 49ers NFC Championship game yesterday.
My voice is a little raspy.
Oh, we know why. Santa Clara's finest.
Yes, sir. Well, let's talk some Richard Sherman, who sealed the 49ers NFC Championship game win last night with a late pick. But he also got beat on a deep pass to Devontae Adams at one point. But he got another great cornerback, Darrell Revis, calling him out, tweeting out, quote, "Fear of getting beat in man-to-man coverage, every snap, every play. The fact that he doesn't travel as a cornerback is lame. Accept the challenge as the best and shut Adams down the entire game. Do it for the game of football. Stop hiding in cover 3 zone." Not surprisingly, Sherman responded tweeting out, quote,
"What do you say?
I would go in on this has been, but I have a Super Bowl to prepare for.
Man.
Enjoy the view from the couch. Your 9th year looked a lot different than this, LMAO." Guys, do you think Revis looks petty here? Or does he have a point?
Petty. I'm going petty. And I originally was going to say petty and a point, but I'm just going petty. You don't do this on the day the man just qualified for the Super Bowl. And I looked at some stats someone tweeted out, I think Pro Football Focus. I think Richard Sherman has a lower completion percentage on passes thrown than Darrell Revis. So.
Okay, I'm actually.
I'm
with Darnell part of
that. He ain't getting enough sleep.
Darnell had to take that early Southwest.
Oh my goodness.
Boy, you sound a mess. I'm gonna say both, actually. The timing is petty, and you're actually right. In terms of what your point is, you're trying to make a point. I took the point well. Let Brother Sherman have his moment, first of all, my man from Compton. Let him have his moment. He's going to another Super Bowl. But let's be real. I blame Troy Aikman, and that's our guy, that's my man, but Troy Aikman baited this whole conversation. I'm sure Darrell Revis was sitting at home in his man cave, which was a little absent of some memorabilia. If y'all saw the picture, come on, Darrell, hook the man cave up. So then he's sitting there, and play one, what happened? Richard Sherman lined up on the right side.
Yes, he did.
Troy Aikman, doing his job as well as he does, says, this is interesting. And from that point forward, I didn't see Richard Sherman ever on there, but that's already got Darrell Revis's gun loaded. And then he's sitting there, and he's just watching, waiting for a moment, and it came. 67-yard bomb to Adams, and Richard Sherman looked like the other Achilles was about to give, turned around in circles. Not only did he fall down, he didn't even get up. And so that allows Darrell Revis to have the ammo what he did. And Darrell Revis, look, let him have this moment. Don't spell accept with EX, it's ACC. But you know, when you rush into Twitter, you gotta get it out. All that said, it was petty, and he was right.
You disagree, yeah. LeVar?
Yeah, I 100% disagree with y'all. And I'm glad you brought up the point of Troy Aikman, because when you're one of the greatest to ever do it as a true cover corner, then you are going to be looking, and well, that's the greatest ever.
Okay, so
that's
one.
The greatest. Okay. But again, people are going to want to know. That's why we even have a show. People want to know guys who have been able to do it at certain levels, what their takes on, what their opinions on it are. I don't think it's shade. I really don't. I think he was giving a true assessment and opinion where he was sitting from. And yes, there was some bait that was thrown out there. But I think when bait is thrown out there, a guy like that has an opportunity to say.
This is a Pittsburgh bias.
I mean, yeah, I heard Compton, and even though he didn't do, you know, shots out to Aliquippa, even though he did not do accept the right way, we got where he was coming from with what his point was. I think it was more Sherman fodder than it was even Shea coming from Darrell Revis. Darrell threw out what he thought. When you're playing in a public forum in athletics, people are going to have opinions, and some are going to be greats, all right?
Lamar.
Stop. LeVar. It's LeVar. Fodder.
Point.
Marcellus
Fodder. That's disrespectful.
Fodder.
You know why? You don't start off a tweet saying fear as the first word and saying, oh, I'm just being true in my assessment. That means you're taking the jab as well. The first word is
hold
fear?
On now. Hold on now.
Fear?
You had fear. To run a three-man coverage zone, sky, cloud, buzz, because you are afraid of what the Green Bay Packers offense can do.
It's petty.
That's fair.
It's petty.
Dude is still balling.
Okay.
He's balling.
Okay.
You tear your Achilles, and then you come back and have this type of career.
Ooh.
In this type of year. You look at Revis at 31 years old. He had one pick. You look at Richard Sherman at 31 years old. He had three picks, two in the playoffs. Davante Adams is a dog.
One in one game?
Davante Adams is a dog. He got beat off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
If you go against Davante Adams enough in press man coverage, he gets paid to. He's going to beat you sometimes. And it was a great ball, great catch. It's going to happen.
Again, nobody's going to say you're not going to catch a ball on a cover
being
shutdown
petty.
Corner.
That's press man. And Revis is no different. You get press man. There's going to be a safety in the middle of the field. Where it's Revis playing a corner or it's Richard Sherman playing a corner. And if you're smart, Richard Sherman is going to play head up to outside because I know I have a guy in the middle of the field.
That's an offensive mentality and approach. In a three-zone coverage, whether it's sky, whether it's cloud, whether it's buzz. If it's buzz, I'm bringing a guy underneath. I'm going to bring Marcellus underneath.
Yeah.
So he's got some help in the flats.
Sack.
But if it's a sky or if it's a cloud, you have two safeties, and they have two zones, the center zone and the zone to their side. You got another one, zone to his side and the center zone. If you are a true cover man, cover corner, you do not have the safety net of a safety being to your inside,
and there's
to your
only
outside, playing to the flat.
The times I've watched football, Deion Sanders is the only one that's getting away with that. Revis wasn't doing that.
Revis,
come on, man.
Revis might have not have done it to you by our conversation.
I mean, Revis was a rookie when I played against him.
Revis was one of the best corners to ever play this game.
I'm not saying that Revis was not. But we look
at players that are playing right now.
No.
We're undervaluing them. And he's talking about a has-been on the couch.
You actually like Revis.
Was one of the greatest to ever do it.
I'm not, he's Rod Woodson.
I'm not acting like Revis can't play. But Revis, you got to give Richard Sherman his – the dude tears his Achilles and come back and balls, and now he's going to the Super Bowl.
Just don't call him a cover, true cover corner. That's all I'm saying.
We call him a cornerback. We don't call him
a corner.
That.
That's fine.
First of all, you shouldn't even get into the weeds like that. Like, I do what coach calls, and if coach is calling it to my strengths, don't blame me. I'm killing it. I'm an A-plus at what I have to
do. That's fair.
Simple as that. And look, if y'all notice that highlight, watch the towel. The towel on Richard Sherman.
It came off. It dropped.
It's like, I ain't going to be in the camera with you.
That was almost his foot, hamstring, knee. Something was going to fall off.
That said, I ain't a part of this, dog.
Did anyone win the Super 6 this weekend?
As a matter of fact, there were 4 fans that answered all 6 questions correct and split the jackpot this weekend. Man. Huge congrats to them.
All right.
We got something a little different right here. My man Terry Bradshaw is guaranteeing a $250,000 Super Bowl contest prize. So, be sure to download the Fox Sports Super 6-7 play for free for your chance to win.
Boys, more than that.
LeVar Arrington and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Let's move to the Super Bowl, where Andy Reid's Chiefs will face off with Kyle Shanahan's 49ers in 2 weeks on Fox. Reid has been one of the NFL's best offensive minds for 20-plus years and is back in the Super Bowl for the first time in 15 years. Shanahan, meanwhile, is one of the game's brightest young minds and will be looking to redeem himself after his turn as offensive coordinator for the Falcons in a 28-3 collapse to the Patriots back in 2016. Mm-hmm. All right, the question here is, who has the coaching advantage in the Super Bowl? And this is our Monday opinion.
Okay.
Reid or Shanahan?
I'm going to go with Shanahan. And I feel really bad not even picking Andy Reid because how much respect and how great he is. But comparison is the thief of joy, right? So let's steal some joy right here. Those slow starts by the Chiefs, for whatever reason, anxiety because they're their favorites, whatever, being down 31-7 in 2 combined first quarter appearances in the playoff is a slight edge for Shanahan. His team hits the ground running. Say what you want about opponents. Say what you want about, Green Bay's undermanned. They stick to their plan, and their plan works from hello. So I'm going to respect what he's doing and getting them mentally prepared from the beginning of the first quarter all the way through versus what Andy Reid has done, which has been 2 comebacks so far.
The teacher is the teacher until the student disappears, until the teacher disappears, right?
Is that basically,
this man has been so good at what he's done, Andy Reid, that he's got other guys. Doug Peterson goes and wins the Super Bowl. I look at Andy Reid and what he's been able to accomplish, and he's learned so much. And now he is the teacher, right? There was Holmgren, who was the teacher until he disappeared and was no more. Yeah. Now it's Andy Reid. Andy Reid has shown the resiliency to be able to be a competitive coach with a competitive team year in and year out. I would argue, and my answer is Andy Reid, I would argue that the experience – The failures, because the master fails 100 times more than the one time that he succeeds. And when you look at where Andy Reid is right now and what he has in front of him, I would venture to say that this is his most talented team that he has ever coached. I think the experience, along with some of the heartbreaks and some of the moments that he's had, he has won, maybe not as a head coach, but he has won. And I think that it would be very difficult with somebody of his coaching resume to mess this one up.
I got to go with Andy Reid as well. Just experience. I mean, he's 61 years old. Kyle Shanahan is 40. He's been a head coach for 21 years. Kyle Shanahan's been a head coach for 3. Just off experience and the things that I've seen, my failures, my successes, I'm able to kind of figure out how to go about this. I know how to prepare for a Super Bowl. I know how that week's going to look like. I know how the off week's going to look because I've been through it. Kyle's going to have to go through his father and get advice that way, whereas Andy Reid, he pulls back on his own experience. And so just for that, I have to go with Andy Reid.
This is my Monday opinion. Mm-hmm. I want to leave the ability to flip-flop throughout the week. I'm going to say Andy Reid. On today, just because the guy on a bye week is incredible. When you give this dude extra time to prepare, he's damn good. He's probably the best when he's given extra time to prepare. He's going to have extra time to prepare. I'm going to give him a slight advantage. Tomorrow, I may say something completely different because again, the thing about Shanahan that I think is a huge advantage that I'm not sure if we've ever really seen in football, and someone correct me if I'm wrong because I'm just talking about but to have a Super Bowl winning father who is helping you prepare.
Hello.
No, it's the first time father and son.
First time ever.
Yeah.
That could be a detracting factor.
Oh, no. It's a huge advantage.
It's possible that
it's a huge advantage.
That could create pressure for him that might be unnecessary.
It can, but it's almost like having a billionaire dad and then you say, oh, you're rich too? Well, yeah. My dad, I mean, that's a hell of a leg up having his dad in the room and helping him.
Yeah.
I think this is splitting hairs. Both of these guys are tremendous. I'm leaning Andy Reid today. Tomorrow, maybe Shanahan.
Yeah, success begets success. I mean, it can turn negative, but it's such a leg up from just the fact that if my son was in the NFL, like, good Lord, you know what? The wealth of experience I can give you, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but that process certainly is a better starting point. When you have to compare, let's take some shots. Andy Reid has never won a Super Bowl. So that experience doesn't necessarily materialize into a great confidence. There's a difference between being experienced, being old, or not having it all the way materialized. So if you spot the 49ers 24 like you did after a bye week, Andy Reid's great after a bye week, but he spotted the team 24 after a bye week. Ain't no coming back. The 49ers up 24 in this game. 49ers up 10. You start to look and bite your fingernails, let alone 24. So Andy Reid's in a new experience as well. Kyle Shanahan been in the Super Bowl before, been up 28-3, what was it, and gave that away. So both of them can't lean fully into their experiences because it didn't result in the ultimate reward. So this is going to be interesting in terms of using experience as the complexion. I think it's going to be just about the manpower, and that's the 49ers.
You think there's more manpower on the 49ers team than there is on...
Because there's a defense also, yeah.
There's a defense
when
also.
When you play this Kansas City offense, it's different. You look at what the Saints did to San Francisco when they put up over 40 points. Andy Reid's going to study. And Andy Reid has evolved. You look at the offense he ran in Philadelphia, and you look at the offense he's running, he's evolved. And I'm sure he's taken some concepts from Kyle Shanahan, from McVay, from all these other offensive coaches. He's evolved.
Yeah.
You know what beats cover three? You know what beats cover three? Thank you.
Darrell Revis.
You want to know what beats cover two?
Receiver Zach
Say it again. Say it again. All right. You want to know what beats cover one? Say it again.
Speed.
All right.
Let's
go to break.
Oh, really?
Let's go to break. If I can coach a team as fast as Andy Reid's about to coach the Super Bowl Sunday, he's got the advantage. Give experience to that.
Before we go,
before high school.
I'd like to share a few words about the man I believe is the greatest role model in American history, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Today, we celebrate his legacy, accomplishments, vision, and memory. Tomorrow and moving forward, I'd love for us to re-embrace his methods and tactics. Dr. King, Malcolm X, and the prominent black men and women of their generation carried themselves publicly in a way that promoted respect for black people. They embraced the responsibility of presenting themselves and working toward change that would create opportunities for the next generation of black people. I believe I directly benefited from their sacrifice. I believe I'm talking to you right now and am surrounded by Marcellus Wiley, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Darnell Smith, and Uncle Jimmy because Dr. King and others changed the way America viewed black men. He passed a baton that we are now responsible for passing to the next generation. I'm concerned that we are dropping that baton. I'm concerned that we have become so secular, so disconnected from each other, so consumed with building individual brands that we no longer see the value in being role models for the next generation. Those of us in the public eye are consumed with being influencers rather than role models. I keep harping on this point because I think the next generation is unaware of the critical difference between influencer and role model. Jackie Robinson, Bill Russell, Jim Brown, Muhammad Ali, Arthur Ashe, despite whatever their human flaws and personal failures, they strive to model public behavior that elevated the image of black people. They did not reject the concept of being role models, of being connected to a larger narrative that reflected on all of us. Influencers have a very different goal and agenda. They want to build a massive following and influence their followers to buy commercial products. Odell Beckham Jr., LeBron James, Colin Kaepernick, and countless other athletes are more interested in promoting the image of Nike than their people. The same goes for the black political influencers talking on TV. They're serving their party far more than their people. Dr. King served his people. role models challenge the established order by showing their followers how to effectively play the game of life. Influencers enrich the establishment by fooling their followers into believing they are going to disrupt the establishment with pointless, rebellious gestures. In 1993, an internal study revealed Nike was losing its popularity with American males. Nike commissioned the advertising firm Wieden & Kennedy to come up with a commercial campaign to make the shoe company edgier. Later that year, Nike debuted the infamous Charles Barkley, "I am not a role model" commercial.
I am not a role model. I'm not paid to be a role model. Parents should be role models. Just because I dunk a basketball doesn't mean I should raise your kids.
5 years ago, in 2015, I edited a comprehensive profile story of Barkley for The Undefeated that spelled out in great detail how over the course of the next two decades, Barkley embraced being a role model. Dr. King wanted us to be role models. Nike wants us to be influencers.
All right, Speak for Yourself. We'll be live at Loomis Park on South Beach as we get ready for Super Bowl 54. Audience check-in starts at 2 p.m. and we'll have special guests, audience giveaways, and a whole lot more. FS1 Super Bowl week, live from Miami, just a week away. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and TJ Houspenzada are back. All right, let's move to Las Vegas, which could be what Tom Brady's thinking about doing. The soon-to-be free agent was spotted chatting it up with Raiders owner Mark Davis at UFC 246 over the weekend. And UFC president Dana White says if Brady isn't playing for the Patriots next year, he'll be playing in Las Vegas. We buying this? You think Tom Brady is open to playing for the Raiders?
Oh, absolutely open. I think Tom Brady recognizes and respects that he doesn't have the pick of the litter. Like, first of all, who's interested in me at this age of 42 going forward? And then you have to look at that situation and negotiate. He knows that if the Raiders are really interested, that could be an interesting experience for him. Going to Vegas, being the face of a franchise in a new place, taking advantage of all the resources that are going to come from this introduction to Las Vegas. And more importantly, leaving the Patriots behind. Kraft is talking out of both sides of his mouth, saying how much he loves Tom Brady, but then says, I want him to stay here, if not retire. There's one way to make him stay there. Take care of him. They won't go to that extent. They're going to stop short of taking care of him, but wishing for him to go away, Tom Brady's open to the Raiders and anybody else that's open to him.
I think this works. It's a yes for me.
The Raiders?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. You have a front office that has clear respect and admiration and just total reverence for who Tom Brady is and what he's represented. You want to sell tickets. You want to sell hope. That's generally for a team, an organization that isn't winning Super Bowls. That's their main ingredient to the offseason. Does that mean you're checking it in with Carr, that you're moving on from Carr? That may be a detonation of sorts, but when you look at the fact that Tom Brady could come to Las Vegas and get paid what he's looking for, because they would be willing to do that because they're going to make that money back, they're probably, Mayock can look at it like, look, we got to give him what New England didn't give him. We got to give him a few more weapons. They'll go out and get those weapons. Yep. I think it is the perfect recipe for someone like Tom Brady at this point in his career because of the concessions that the people around him would make.
He's open to it, and let's just stay on the football field. Raiders have one of the better offensive lines in the league. That would be good for Brady. They have a good running game. That would be good for Brady. They would have to go get a receiver.
Or two.
Yeah. They get one.
Tight end.
The tight end they have is pretty good. Waller, he's pretty good. And then
young defense.
What you said with Kraft, oh, we want him back. In the NFL, you don't tell me you want me. You show me. And when you show me, it's the Brinks truck. If the Raiders are going to pay him more than everybody else, he's 100% open to going to play for the Raiders because when you look on the field, they can protect me. We do need another weapon, but I think we can get that done.
Yep.
I just find it hard to believe Tom Brady
wants to be pictured. So this would be Michael Jordan going to the Washington Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the exact same thing. A franchise with, you know, the Wizards, whenever the Bullets actually won a title back in the 70s, I think. And so the Raiders have a nice history, but are kind of a laughing stock right now. To see Tom Brady in that uniform, I just think there's better options out there for him away. And again, I would say the Chargers, but they're in the same division. I just wouldn't go.
I mean, he did up in the Bay Area. They just left Oakland.
You going to go play Pat Mahomes twice?
You don't want to, but you might have to.
You're talking from a place of luxury, and Tom Brady's not in that same real estate market that he was 5-10 years ago. Right now, this is dependent on who's interested in me as well. But this whole story, this whole picture stuff, sounds a lot like how when someone has a house in L.A., oh, yeah, guess what? Free agency, they're going to play for the Lakers. Like, we did that with Westbrook. We were out there looking for James Harden, KD. And look,
but Dana White is friends with Tom Brady. Got a Boston connection.
And he also said, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. To the point of, I'm going to announce something right now here. This is real talk. I was in Vegas and had a conversation with Mark Davis. And I just want to let you guys know I'm going to try to come back into the league right now. So, y'all see that picture right there? Like, that picture says nothing to y'all, right? Tom Brady being out there, too. When you go to Vegas, guess who's going to be there? The dude who's building the big-ass stadium right behind you. And you take a picture with him. You're like, what's up? Hook me up with the suite next time. That's as simple as this was. This was nothing bigger than Tom Brady running into another guy who just coincidentally owns a team. Nothing
more. I think they're trying to have a splash coming to Las Vegas. And what better way to create some energy, some excitement around your team and signing the GOAT to your team? And even if it doesn't work out, you're saying, okay, we have the personality of Mayock in the front office. We got Mark in the top deck office. We got Gruden, who's coaching the team. You got all these strong personalities, and then you add a guy like Tom Brady to this. It could be an explosive impact on what
they're
trying
to do. I'm going to tell you the reason why there's a slight chance, because it also gives you the opportunity to draft a rookie quarterback
and give
him time. He's going to be mentored by Tom Brady for 2 years, mm-hmm. and then Brady's going to leave. And so it could mm-hmm. make a little sense, but I just don't understand why Brady would do it. I'd rather go play for the Chargers.
They're going to pay
the money.
Yeah, well, the Chargers have the same situation, new stadium.
But
and they
see, you're not going to have the same type of stability in terms of that decision if you go to a place like the Chargers. They've had turmoil in the front offices in the past. You're looking at a team right now where you're talking about Mayock and Gruden have a firm foothold on what the decision is.
And they got a lot of draft
picks. Derek Carr got a house next to Gruden. What are you going to do with
it? Selling to Brady. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Patrick Mahomes.
You know?
We going to the Super Bowl.
Hey, yeah.
Who's the big dummy of the day?
And it's you. Better.
You know.
You know.
What'd he say?
Hey, man, how you gonna sit up here and get mad because you went out and bought a new Mercedes, but didn't nobody know that you had a little ding? Man, you need to feel the need to keep some things to yourself.
Let's talk Patrick Mahomes.
That's the talk about overcompensation.
Who had a monster game yesterday.
That's cold.
Leading the Chiefs to their first Super Bowl in 50 years with a win over the Titans. Mahomes threw 3 touchdowns, but his most memorable play was the 27-yard touchdown run that electrified the entire sports world.
Mm.
Marcellus, was that the play of the year?
No, not what? At all. Let me stay on brand. You know I'm going to find a Lamar Jackson highlight somewhere. Lamar Jackson, when he made the spin and made 2 defenders collide, fall down.
A regular season?
It was just a game, though. It was still on an NFL football field. But look, this play, I take some style points away from Patrick Mahomes. Those defenders weren't trying to tackle. And that affects the highlight right there. It wasn't all Patrick Mahomes. It was some bad from the defense.
That's crazy. This is play of the year.
Damn much.
Play of the year.
Play of the year. Play of the year. Uncle Jimmy.
Look at that. Look at 35. What you doing, 35?
I'm comparing Patrick Mahomes to Muhammad Ali. He's the greatest today. Your thoughts on Patrick Mahomes?
You ever heard the phrase, sorry is a sorry word for sorry people?
Yes.
All right. Well, good.
No, I haven't.
I'm about to say, I never heard that. Nope.
Based on that, look here, man. I don't want to hear another word about Patrick Mahomes coming from your sorry ass mouth. Look, man, there come a time in life that sorry just ain't enough.
Oh, you didn't like my apology?
No, shut your mouth. Look here, I'm gonna give you an example when sorry ain't enough. See, the women of Kansas City treated Uncle Jimmy kind of foul his last 2 years there. I was running in a little drought and didn't nobody want to help me out. See, now that I'm on TV, I done won MVP. Mm. Now we going to the Super Bowl. Mm. Now everybody running to me going, oh, I'm sorry. You know, it's kind of like Biggie said. You know, girls used to diss me. Now they text me, talking illicit, talking about how they where they want to kiss me. It ain't no doubt I went from ashy to classy. But now when women talk to me, they don't talk so sassy.
I like it.
Here, listen to me, nephew. I'm here to give you a public, formal, verbal notification.
Of
you what? Are hereby notified that you are to stay 500 yards away from the Chiefs bandwagon.
Mm. Oh, it's on him.
Oh, okay.
See, I've been sunk here to protect the Chiefs' kingdom and the Chiefs' bandwagon.
Who sunk you?
From my nephew's jinxes and stupidity.
Mm. Mm.
This is the things that's been costing us championships for all these years.
Oh, it wasn't the defense?
No. So listen here. Listen to me, Kansas City, to the fans of Kansas City. I give y'all my word. I will lay down my nephew's life to keep him off this bandwagon. See, listen to me, nephew. I don't know who told you, but Patrick Mahomes don't want no parts of your little sloppy seconds. See, he'll be totally fine if you go back to your little flavor of the month. Lamar Jackson and his little non-throwing ass. Pretty Russell Wilson, his henpecked ass. Jeff George and his old I could have been great if ass. Bottom line, Kansas City Chiefs, we going to the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce told y'all last week, you got to fight for your right to party.
Last week,
we in
yesterday.
Kansas City, we done fought for our right to party. Okay? You don't believe me. Hey, last year, we knocked on their door. This year, we're going to kick it down and come through waving the fofos. You don't believe me, sweetie? I told you before, I got enough to feed the needy. Keep messing with me. Holla at me in Miami.
Please. All right, I've got Patrick Mahomes all the way up to 90.
Y'all talking about it. Damn it, I'm being about it.
Well into the GOAT status. I move him up 2 points
no
in all-time
to my
greatness.
Game.
Yes.
If he wins the Super Bowl, I'm going to move him up 3 more points. GOAT status, Patrick Mahomes.
Bad, yeah. No, he's always been a GOAT for me. No shots at him. And the fact, the enthusiasm, him rallying the team for 2 comebacks, keep it going, Pat.
I don't know. The internet has him at an all-star by a hair. That's crazy. If he's not a GOAT status, what is it?